It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Russian dictator Vladimir Putin's war against Ukraine rages on. A Russian airstrike Sunday night hit an apartment building in the northeastern Ukrainian city of Sumy, killing at least 21 people, including two young children. After Sumy has been under sustained attacks in recent days, Ukraine and Russia reportedly agreed on another evacuation route so Ukrainians could safely leave the region. But several previous attempts to evacuate civilians failed earlier this week, with Western leaders accusing Russian forces of continuing to target pre-approved safe routes. The Biden administration is emphasizing that American troops will not engage directly with Russian forces. And NATO members have also pushed back on calls for a no-fly zone in Ukraine, warning that it could lead to a, quote, full-fledged war in Europe. As opposed to what's happening now? But things could swiftly change if Moscow's attack spills into a NATO member nation, a move that would trigger Article 5. That's the principle that an attack on one NATO member is an attack on all its members. And why isn't Ukraine in NATO? Just asking. So, Russia and Ukraine on Monday ended a third round of talks with no breakthrough. Russia is demanding that Ukraine accept neutrality, demilitarize, drop its effort to join NATO, and give up parts of eastern Ukraine. An advisor to President Zelensky said some progress had been made on improving the, quote, logistics of humanitarian corridors. That would be the way for civilians to leave the cities that are being hardest hit. Ukrainians got on buses to leave Sumy on Tuesday, the first evacuation from a Ukrainian city through an agreed humanitarian corridor after a few failed attempts. But at the same time, Russia is also recruiting Syrians to fight on its behalf in their invasion of Ukraine. The Pentagon found it noteworthy that the Russian leader, Putin, quote, believes he needs to rely on foreign fighters to supplement what is a very significant commitment of combat power inside Ukraine as it is. Okay. Well, the effects of the war are being felt globally. Gas prices continue to rise here as bipartisan support for a ban on Russian oil imports grows in Congress. The national average price for a gallon of gas reached $4.17 on Monday, passing the previous record of $4.11 reached in July of 2008. The price of oil jumped by about 14% on Monday, with the international benchmark Brent crude reaching about $129 a barrel. That's up from $65 a barrel in early December. Members on both sides of the aisle in Congress have been urging President Biden to ban Russian oil imports as part of the effort to impose harsher sanctions against the Russian guy for invading Ukraine. And just like that, breaking news at press time, President Biden is expected to announce sometime Tuesday that the U.S. will ban Russian oil, natural gas, and coal imports as part of his administration's response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Good. It's about time. But watch out. Gas prices are going to go even higher. I don't know about you, but I could use some encouraging news right about now. So an interlude. According to CNN, Benny Thompson, the chair of the House Select Committee investigating the Capitol riot, is already finding newly released visitor logs from Trump's White House, quote, very fruitful. The committee had fought to obtain these logs in an effort to track people who may have discussed the attack with the former guy in the Oval Office. And finally, after more than 200 failed attempts, Congress on Monday passed legislation that for the first time would make lynching a federal hate crime. The Senate voting unanimously. That followed a House vote of 422-3 last week, sending the bill to President Biden to sign into law. The Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act, named for the black teenager whose brutal killing in Mississippi in 1955, became a pivotal moment in the civil rights era. And okay, you want the names of the three members of Congress who voted against the legislation? You got it. Andrew Clyde of Georgia, Thomas Massey of Kentucky, and Chip Roy of Texas. Voters, you know what to do.
Come on, man.
Surprisingly, the Supreme Court even gave us something to be grateful for this week. The High Court rejected emergency applications filed by Republicans in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, asking the court to strike down congressional district maps approved by the courts in both states. By doing so, the Supreme Court refused to accept a radical legal theory known as independent state legislature doctrine that could have upended redistricting and voting rights across the country. So we're safe for a moment anyway. But then there's this. In another order, the Supremes ruled that maps selected by the North Carolina and Pennsylvania state Supreme Courts were to be used for the 2022 midterm elections. Yeah, both maps are more favorable to Democrats than the ones drawn by the Republican-controlled state legislature. The North Carolina map is expected to give Democrats an additional House seat. The Pennsylvania map is expected to result in more Democratic wins as well. The Republicans argued that the Constitution gives state lawmakers sole authority in decisions on conducting elections. According to who? So, remember Mark Meadows? You know, he quit his North Carolina congressional seat to become the former guy's White House chief of staff back in March of 2020. Well, WRAL in North Carolina reporting Monday night that Meadows had registered to vote for the 2020 election using the address of a rural North Carolina mobile home where he never lived and, according to its former owner, never slept at. Meadows voted by mail from Alexandria, Virginia in 2020. But he's still registered at that North Carolina rental home. Registering using a residence you've never stayed at constitutes voter fraud in North Carolina. And providing false information on your voter registration form is a federal crime. Meadows, of course, was a prominent critic of mail-in voting in 2020 and a vocal supporter of Trump's fake news post-election voter fraud claims. Merrick Garland, paging Merrick Garland. And finally, here in Florida, the state legislature this week are set to pass the Don't Say Gay bill. This bill would effectively ban teachers from even discussing sexual orientation and gender identity in classrooms for young students, though critics say this will affect older kids as well. LGBTQ advocates say the measure would lead to further stigmatization of gay, lesbian, and transgender children. Parents would also have greater authority to take legal action if they're not privy to situations related to their children or if their children are encouraged to have discussions about sexual orientation and gender identity in school. Wow. As high school students participated in walkouts around the state, Disney CEO said the company, which employs over 75,000 Floridians, is committed to inclusivity, but he wouldn't publicly condemn this controversial bill and is subsequently being throttled on social media. The Don't Say Gay bill passed Florida's House of Representatives in February and now heads to the Republican-controlled Senate, which could take a final vote as soon as today. And then the governor, Ron DeSantis, who likes to call Florida the freest state in America, has enthusiastically supported this legislation and berated the press for the way the bill has been portrayed in the media. You might want to listen to his chief spokesman, who actually tweeted out a heinous message concerning it. She wrote, "The bill that liberals inaccurately call Don't Say Gay would be more accurately described as anti-grooming bill." Following that up with, quote, "If you're against the anti-grooming bill, you're probably a groomer, or at least you don't denounce the grooming of 4 to 8 year old children. Silence is complicity. This is how it works, Democrats, and I don't make the rules." Groomer of children? What? The biggest concern, though, is what message this would send to gay, lesbian, and transgender children, and what kind of immediate impact such a law could have on their mental health. A national survey by the Trevor Project found that 42% of LGBTQ youth seriously considered suicide in the last year, including more than half of transgender and non-binary youth. And one last story for you. Over 200 of the world's biggest and best-known companies have cut ties with Russia, but not all of them. The holdouts include Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Starbucks, Burger King, McDonald's, and KFC, which have over 1,000 locations in the country. In response, some are calling for a boycott of those brands. The more you know. I got good. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on one of those donate buttons.